We concluded our study through the Beatitudes last week. We were introduced to a whole nother level of happiness. God-sized happiness. A happiness that's only found in God and that is ours. That we can have as we embrace God's way of living, upside down, that beatitude attitude kind of lifestyle. And today we're going to continue our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, as he keeps preaching here, he provides us with wonderful insight into our God-ordained identity and our calling. God-ordained identity and calling. The title of the message is Discovering Our Identity and Our Calling. In fact, when I was reading through these passages of Scripture in Matthew 5, as we're continuing through the Sermon on the Mount, this is stuff that jumped out at me that I typically don't see as I read this passage of Scripture. Identity and calling. But I believe that that is what God wants us to get grounded in right now as the church. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. When we live the beatitude lifestyle, this is what happens. You're the salt of the earth. Those of you who are children of God, those of you who are living this way, those of you who find your whole life, your whole purpose, your happiness in God, you're the salt of the earth. He continues, he says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. But then he goes into verse 14 and Jesus continues and he says, you are the light of the world, you beatitude people. You followers of mine, you children of God, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Again, this is what I'm seeing in this passage of Scripture right here, right now for us, is that Jesus is providing incredible insight into our new identity that we have in Him. Who we are in Christ Jesus. Jesus just called us believers, salt and light. We're salt and light. Jesus didn't say, after he just spoke about the Beatitudes, he's talking to about his followers now. He didn't say, but you always got to remember, people, you live this Beatitude lifestyle, you follow me, you put your whole life in my hands, you got to always remember that you're still just broken people. He didn't say that. He didn't say you're still, you got to remember, every day wake up and remember that you're pitiful, you're poor, and you're powerless. He didn't say that. He didn't say, but remember every day that you're sinners. You're sinners, wretched souls that I just continue to put up with. Jesus didn't say that, did he? Jesus called his disciples, those who embrace the beatitude attitude, he called them salt and light. Salt and light. Carriers of his kingdom. Carriers of God. Beacons of righteousness. World changers. Salt and light. That's what he calls his followers. That's what he calls his disciples. Jesus is talking about identity. He wants us to make sure we understand who we are in Him. He wants us to make sure we understand our new identity in this upside down constitution of God's kingdom, Sermon on the Mount kind of lifestyle. He wants us to know who we are now as we embrace God's way and live it out. He already said that when we embrace His way, we're going to be happy in Him. A happiness that is never found anywhere else, that goes to a whole nother level, kind of happiness. And now he's saying, not only will you have real, true happiness when you embrace me, but you have a whole nother new identity. Salt and light. What does it mean to be salt and light? Let's start with salt, because Jesus did. Salt. It's a mineral, isn't it? See those little salt crystals in that shaker right there? We are the salt. Salt is a mineral, has several characteristics. It's white, it enhances flavor, and it preserves. Jesus is telling us, beatitude people, those who are born again in Christ Jesus, that we are now pure. We're pure because we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been cleansed by His blood, by His sacrifice that He gave on the cross. And so we are pure. We're salt. We're pure. And not only that, not only are we pure, but we enhance the world because we're the ones who bring righteousness. We're the ones who bring Jesus into the world. So we're pure. We enhance the world. And we also help the world from rotting away. We preserve the world from rotting. We're the salt. I love salt because it makes things taste better. Almost every Sunday night, what we do around the Jones house is we have, for dinner on Sunday night, we'll have smoothies and popcorn. That's Sunday night dinner. I'm telling you, it's a tradition in our home. Well, it was last Sunday or the Sunday before. The popcorn was sitting out there in the big bowl. I went and I grabbed a big handful of it, put it in my mouth, and I'm like, oh, it hasn't been salted yet. It was kind of bland. You know, you have popcorn without salt, and it's like, it's okay. You know, it's all right, but you add salt and a little butter, too. But we're just talking about salt this morning. But you add salt, and I mean, it's a party. You add salt to the popcorn, and you create a party. You go from eh to yeah, let's have some fun, right? Now, kids, you know this, and I'm the same way. I'm just a big kid, all right? When the green stuff gets put on my plate, talking about the green beans, the peas, the broccoli, those kind of things, if you have a bite before you put salt on them, oh, here's how you do it. If you want your greens to taste good, you got to eat them while they're hot, and you got to put some salt on those things. You know what I'm saying? You put salt on your vegetables, and it just makes it taste better, doesn't it? In fact, the secret to my amazing grilling, and I am a grill master, by the way. I'm waiting for my certificate still in the mail. I went did one of those mail order things. It still hasn't come in. The grill master certificate, anyway. And I'm waiting for it. But one of the secrets to my grilling is I use salt very generously on the meat. I mean, before I put it on, I mean, I'm prepping that thing. I've got salt all over both sides of it, not just one side. That doesn't work. Mark, you gave that look, but I'm telling you, it's good, man. It is good. I'm talking with Penapinto back there, not you, Sakira. You were like giving a smile. You understand. We got to talk with Penapinto. I mean, he needs some educating. I can tell right now. It takes everything to a whole nother level. Salt does. It enhances things. Try a potato chip without salt. Come on, what's the purpose of that? I don't get it. Salt is used to add flavor. Who's the salt? We're the salt. We're the salt. Salt also, though, check this out. It's also used to cure meat, to preserve it. When we're filled with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when we are the salt of this in this world, when we generously pour Jesus out everywhere we go and into people's lives everywhere we go, what are we doing? We're bringing the cure. We're bringing the cure. We're not only enhancing the world as we go out as the salt, but we're bringing the cure. Jesus Christ. Because we're the salt. That's just who we are. That's just what we do. We enhance things and we bring the cure. Remember Jesus in John 14:6. It says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, He's the cure. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Because He is the cure. The world is infected. It's disease-ridden with sin. And we are the salt. We're the cure carriers. We carry the cure. Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's our identity. And we also enhance things and bring a lot of good flavor into the world too, as the salt. This is our identity in Christ. And then there was light. So we're the salt, Jesus said. He also called us the light of the world. Light represents life, doesn't it? It represents holiness. It represents the presence and the glory of God. That's what light represents. He is the Father of lights, as it says in James 3:17. The Father of lights. Light represents Christ. John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Those of us who follow Christ will never walk in darkness, because we have, we possess, we have the light of life, Jesus. He's all in us. He's all over us. That's who we are now in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is saying, since we have him, we are now the light of the world. And I know it almost sounds scandalous. I mean, don't you feel weird saying, I'm the light of the world? I'm the light. Doesn't that almost feel wrong? I'm the light. Jesus called you that. He calls you the light. And he calls you the light because you're filled with him, the light. He's turned you on. He's made you a light. You are a new creation. You have a new identity, new characteristics about you. You are the light. Sometimes the enemy gets all over us and says, no, you're not. Who do you think you are? Remember what you did 10 years ago? That's who you are. If you're in Christ Jesus, everything has changed. You have a new identity. You're the light. You're the light. The light of the world. Light has these characteristics. It shines, which means it illuminates. Light illuminates things. It dispels darkness. Light brings warmth and it brings life. Those are just some of the characteristics of light. And in our new identity as the light of the world, we transmit God's glory. In other words, God shines through us. That's why we got to make sure we don't hide it under a bushel. No, we got to let his glory shine, don't we? Hide it under a bushel? No, that's what the enemy wants you to do, is hide it. He wants you to hide under a bushel. He wants you to stay home. He wants you to shut up. He does. The enemy just wants you to shut up and shut in, because he knows you're the light. And if you go out, you're bringing light and dispelling darkness. If you open your mouth and speak forth the words that the Lord is giving you, you dispel the darkness, which is what he wants. Because you're the light. So he wants you to be shut in. He wants you to hide under a bushel or in your home or behind your, in your cubicle or whatever. He wants you to hide. Because you're the light. We transmit God's glory. That's amazing. It's powerful. It will completely transform the world when the church begins to step up, walk out, and be the light, because we're carrying the glory of God. And where the glory of God goes, things change. There's no way around it. And when God shines through us, we cause darkness to flee. We bring warmth and healing to hurting people, because that's what light does. It brings warmth and it brings healing. So when we're the light, we're bringing warmth and healing to those that are hurting. The world, for the hurting, need us to be the light. And we bring new life because we bring Jesus. We're the light. Light overcomes darkness. I picked up the following statement years ago, and I didn't do a good job at figuring out where I got this statement, but it's not my own. It's from someone else, and I just want to read this to you right now. It's this particular quote about light overcoming the darkness. It says over and over again, No matter how strong darkness seems, light has always prevailed over darkness. Over and over again, no matter how hard darkness tries, the light is always able to overcome the darkness. In fact, darkness cannot put out a light. If the darkness increases until it is black as a cave, it is still not dark enough to extinguish a light. No one has yet smothered a light by increasing the darkness. Light always overcomes darkness. When you enter a dark room, you turn on the light. The only way for the darkness to return is for the light to be turned off or removed. Darkness cannot overtake the light. So I got thinking about this reality that we see through God's Word, about how light always overcomes darkness. In the beginning, it was dark, wasn't it? It was dark in the beginning. And the Lord spoke some words. He said, "Let there be light," in Genesis 1:3. And what was the result? Light overcame the darkness. Jumping ahead, Jesus is doing his earthly ministry. And many blind men came to him. Men that had been living in darkness. Some of them their entire lives, living in darkness. And Jesus spoke a word. He brought healing into their lives, opened their eyes, and what happened? Light overcame darkness. The day that Jesus was hanging on the cross, darkness filled the sky. For 3 hours, darkness filled the sky in the middle of the day. But 3 days later, that dark tomb was overcome with light. The glory of the risen King. Light overcame darkness. It always does. And today, as we live in a world filled with darkness, we are the ones who will bring the light and see light overcome the darkness. In many ways, Jesus has passed the torch on to us, that torch of light. "I'm the light of the world," Jesus said. "But now you're the light of the world. I'm transferring that torch. I'm handing off the torch to you. Now you are the light. That's who you are. If you're in me, you can't get away from it. You are the light. Now go shine and do the things that I did, and even greater things than these, because you're the light. You're the carrier of God's presence, of His glory, of all of His goodness, of His healing. You're the flavor, you're the cure that this world needs. You're the light, you beatitude people, you children of God. Wow, you're the light and you're the salt." But we got to embrace our new identity. We got to live it out. Otherwise, we can lose it. Let's go back to what Jesus said. Back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. "You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled by men. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Okay, we've heard that saying, use it or lose it. Jesus was kind of coining that right here, coining that phrase, that saying, use it or lose it. Embrace your identity, live it out. Here's an interesting fact. Pure salt never loses its flavor. But when it's mixed with impurities, salt can quickly lose its flavor-enhancing qualities. We too might lose our ability as a flavoring agent in our world by allowing impurities into our lives. Therefore, we need to keep ourselves from sin, remain in Christ, be those beatitude people, and be the salt. Don't let the enemy take away the flavor that God has given us. Don't let him distort what God has done. Don't let him rob who you are as the salt, the flavoring agent, the cure that this world needs. You're the salt. The enemy will throw impurities at you. He'll throw temptation at you to try to throw a bunch of this yuck in the middle of that salty flavor that you have in Christ Jesus. And when that happens, it just messes all things up. Reject it. If you're someone who has allowed impurities in your life and you don't feel very salty right now, but you feel more dirty than salty, more bland than bam, you know, flavorful and all that, just reject those impurities. This is the beautiful thing. All you got to do is say, you know, I don't want that stuff anymore. And the grace of Jesus Christ in you will give you all you need and really just do the work of getting those impurities out. He'll sift them all out and get rid of them. Because you're the salt. You're the salt. Likewise, if we cover up the light of Christ in us, our usefulness is snuffed out. Check this out. What happens to a candle if you cover it up? I want to hide the light. I just want to hide it for a while. What happens to it? You snuff it out. It goes out. You're trying to hide the light and you end up putting the whole thing out. It can be that fast, by the way, to reignite. If your life feels like it was snuffed out, bam, Jesus lights you right back up. Let him do it. Let him do it. See, what happened is that flame, that light got starved of oxygen and the flame went out. We can't hide our light. Otherwise, it starts to go down. And really, even the life just gets sucked right out of us. And we've all been there, I'm sure, at different times in our lives where we've just believed the lie of the enemy and we start kind of pulling away from the Lord, pulling away from the people of God, going back into the old things. And we start to feel the very life and vibrancy and peace and joy just start to get sucked right out of us. Because we're the light. And we're supposed to be shining on that stand for all to see. And as we do that, the Lord just keeps fueling us and keeps pouring into us his oil, pouring into us, pouring into us, pouring into us. Flame keeps getting bigger and bigger. And the darkness keeps disappearing around us. Because we're just being who we are. We're being the light. Being that massive city on a hill. I want to encourage each one of you, even this Christmas season, as you're going to different parties and everything, be the elephant in the room. Some of you know what that saying means, what that expression means. The elephant in the room, that, whoa, there's something really big and weird about that person. There's something different. I mean, too often we just kind of want to fit in. We talked about that a little bit last week, just kind of want to go along, get along, and not get persecuted and all that. We just kind of want to hang out and be in the background. And no, Jesus is reiterating. Be the light. Be the elephant in the room. Be the person in the room that everyone goes, whoa, there's something about that person. And they're not ashamed of it. Look at them, man. They're all lit up. They're lit up. I want to share this, and I didn't ask Judy for permission. You don't have to stand up, Judy, but I've said this so many times to her that when we receive the light of Christ in us, I see real change. I mean, to the fact that our whole countenance begins to change when we let Jesus do his work in our lives. And Judy came to Christ earlier this year out of Buddhism. And I remember her in those early days. She looked beat up, man. She looked hard. She looked down. She just looked down. You know what I'm saying? But all of that has changed. It's all changed. I look at my sister Judy now and I see a new countenance in her. I see the light of Jesus Christ has transformed her. She's got a light in her eyes. She's got a light that's beaming from her face. That is the glory of God in her through Christ Jesus. And she has experienced that transformation. She is now the light of the world and everybody notices it now where she goes. It's obvious. She's the elephant in the room, so to speak, in a good, awesome, light, glory, God kind of way. So, it's awesome. This is life in Christ. It's real transformation that everybody around us can see. Let's not hide it. Let's not hide it. Let's be the shining city on a hill. Let's let the glory of God go forth. We have new identities. We're the salt and the light. I'm going to run through some quick suggestions on how we can be the salt and be the light, how we can fuel those qualities and support our new identity that we have now. How can we do that? And how can we bring it to other people? How can we be the salt and light in our community, in our places of work, in our neighborhoods, in school, everywhere we are? How can we be the salt and light? What are some ways that we can demonstrate it for real? We can pray for people. I find that to be one of my favorite ways of sharing the love of God, the light of Christ to other people. It's just talking with somebody, finding out a little bit of what's going on in their day, and then saying, can I pray for you? And I mean pray, believe in big things. Pray like you're praying for somebody that knows the Lord even. I mean, just pray for big things to happen. Not apologetic prayers. Not just simple, oh, God bless this person. Amen. But man, if they've got a real need in their life, you go to God. You break off things that need to be broken. You loose things in their life that need to be loosed in their lives. And you believe God for big things and for His light and His love and His grace to pour out over that person's life. And I'm telling you, when we care that much to listen and then to take action and pray for somebody and show the heart of God and speak the love of God over and into their lives, they have just experienced salt and light. They've had an encounter with God through a child of God, through a follower of Christ. Another way that we can actively be the salt and light in the world today is through Spirit-led use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You start by just asking God every single day. I mean, every day. Pour out your gifts in me, God. Because I want to be used by you to be the light, to be the salt, to bring your kingdom into people's lives. Ask Him for words of knowledge. That He'll give you words of knowledge to be able to speak into people's lives so that they get a touch from God. They understand and they hear the heart of God being spoken over their life. Ask Him to use you for healing, for miracles even, for the things that Jesus did. Ask Him for those big things, for the gifts of the Spirit to be used in you and through you. And when we obediently and actively do that, we are bringing the salt and the light everywhere we go. Living it out in actions and deeds is another way that we're the salt and the light, as Jesus even talked about. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds, your loving, good, caring, servanthood deeds. And when they see that, they praise your Father in heaven. How we live matters. We can be the light just by serving a neighbor. Caring for somebody, even opening up a door for someone. Another way is sharing truth. We got to tell others about Christ. We got to open up our mouths and share that with others. How can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him in that if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? It says in Romans 10. We got to open up our mouths and we got to tell people about Jesus. Salt and light is active. Part of that activity is sharing the good news of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Let's release the power of God through our mouths as we share the good news of Jesus Christ, as we're the salt and light. Let's see ourselves become change agents as we release the gospel message through our words into others' lives. It won't return void. I shared with you about my memorial service that I did for my grandfather, and how I shared the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ to many who were far from God and in some cases enemies of Christ. And already I'm seeing that the word has not returned void. Open up our mouths. Be the salt and light. And the fifth way that I want to encourage you to be salt and light is time with God. You want to be salt and light? You want to embrace your identity in Christ Jesus, this new identity of being salt and light? Spend time with Him. Check this out. Exodus 34:29. Lord showed me this week. I got pretty excited about it. In fact, I went out to my calendar, talked to Velvet about all of this, went out to my calendar, and I started purposefully putting time with God in after He reminded me of Moses. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, and as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Moses emanated light because he had been with God. His face was shining. The glory of God was just coming out of him and off of him in such an evident, obvious, powerful way. And it happened because he just had spent time with God. The Lord spoke this word over this church family so many times that we are a lighthouse. He's called us a lighthouse, and we're still learning and understanding and seeking Him exactly what that means and how to walk it all out. And we're getting pieces of it, and we're excited about it, and we're embracing this call to be a lighthouse, a house that emanates the light of Christ into our community, a lighthouse. That means we got to be people who spend time in the presence of God. We're going to be a lighthouse. If we're going to live out that word that's been spoken over this church, we've got to continue to be a people who get with God, who talk with God, who spend time in His presence. Because when we do, as we walk away from that time in the presence of God, I mean time with Him. I mean, Moses didn't go up on the mountain and play cards all day long and, you know, talk with God for 20 minutes and then get on Facebook and Twitter and all this kind of stuff for the rest of the time and checking things out. I mean, Moses got with God. He got in God's face. When's the last time you got in God's face? In a humble, respectful way, obviously, but you know what I'm talking about. When's the last time you got in His face and stayed there? Out of those encounters, out of those times, you'll walk away. I mean, you're going to be just displaying the glory of God. There's no way around it. My good friend, one of our elders, Don Schrein. Man, I remember one morning when he woke up at 3 a.m. and he was just on his face before the Lord. I wasn't there. He told me the story. That would have been weird. Anyway, he's on his face before the Lord. Has a major encounter with God. Oh my goodness. I mean, that guy was like a Jesus bomb for the next several weeks. I mean, just, whoa, God, this, He did this, and I've heard this, and I mean, all kinds of things. I mean, he just walked out of that experience with God on fire. I mean, just beaming, emanating the light everywhere he went. I mean, it was just, the presence, the kingdom of God coming off of him and hitting everybody that he came in contact with. We can live that way, folks. Because we're the light. We're children of God. Those who've been invited to come away with me. Spend time with me. The salt and the light. We're carriers of God's kingdom. We are beacons of righteousness. We are world changers. We're salt and light. I feel led to lay down a challenge to every person in the room this morning. That challenge would be for every one of us here in this church family to intentionally be the salt. Intentionally be the salt and be the light this Advent season. So here's my challenge. Identify two people that are either living in darkness, who are just really getting beat up by darkness right now. Identify two people. I want you to use one of these methods that we talked about this morning to be the light and to be the salt, to bring the flavor of God, to bring the cure of Jesus Christ, to bring the warmth and the healing and the glory of God into their lives this Advent season. Don't let them experience another Christmas without experiencing the light. That's the challenge. But that's who you are. You're the salt and light. You don't have to act out of character. You just have to be who you are now in Christ Jesus. And I want to let you know that whether they make a decision for the Lord at that moment, whether you see a major, powerful transformation in their lives immediately before Christmas or anything like that, that pressure is not on you. That's not the challenge here. And I don't believe that's the challenge that Jesus has given you right now. I believe the challenge is just go be the salt and light and allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. But you are the salt and light. Jesus, right now, is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. That's where He is at this moment. But He's got a whole room full here and a whole world filled with His followers who are the salt and light. And He's calling us to go shine in the darkness. And let's watch the world change. One person at a time, or in this case, two people. Before Christmas, you'll be blessed. You really will. And you will be glorifying God as you let your light shine, let yourself shine, and you go be the salt, the cure, the flavor of Jesus in this world. Let's stand up.